Very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. What a wonderful weekend it was. Hope you enjoyed it, by the way. Nice weather for a change, wasn't it? Mind you, I did see that journalist, that regular doomsdayer up online suggesting, of course, that some sort of research somewhere in the world said it was the hottest year in history. We just stop. Because, and here's the thing, what they do is manipulate figures, right? It was 0.07 degrees or 0.7 degrees or something hotter than the average between 1910 and 2020, right? Now, I'm assuming there were lots of years above the average. I mean, but the way they manipulate the figures, I mean, look, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that it wasn't actually a good summer this year. The reason the average temperature is slightly higher is because, of course, we had a very mild January and February. It wasn't freezing cold, if you remember. We didn't get that many cold snaps. It wasn't -1 or -2 at any stage, really, where it normally is. So that brought the average up for the whole year slightly. But that's not something to get alarmed about. These people just get alarmed. They want, I think they want the world to end. Anyway, speaking of the world ending, you think the world was at the ending the way some people are reacting to the way the Irish fans reacted on Saturday at the Aviva Stadium. Let's have a quick look at the video there and see exactly it. Here we go. Here's the national anthem. The British national anthem, of course. God Save the King, not the Queen, the King, being drowned out by Irish fans booing. And on top of that, then, you had British fans trying to drown out the Irish fans. A lot of people said the whole thing was very disrespectful. Okay, thanks. I think we've had enough of that. A lot of people said it was very disrespectful. Irish fans booed God Save the King as Lee Carlsley, by the way, stood on the sidelines mute. Mind you, to be fair to Lee Carlsley, as he was a former player with the Irish team as well, he has said he's always stood mute. He never sang the Irish national anthem either when he was playing for Ireland. He always said he would take a, kind of, I suppose, what would be the word, an impartial view of the whole thing. Now, the Three Lions have travelled to Dublin to take on the Republic of Ireland. Of course, they won. It was 2-0. But the build-up to the match has been dominated by the English interim coach assertion that he would not sing God Save the Queen. But the boos largely came from the Irish fans inside the ground to try to drown out God Save the Queen, but failed as the travelling supporters sang even louder. Sir Keir Starmer and Taoiseach Simon Harris attended the UEFA Nations League match on Saturday evening, and the Prime Minister arrived in the Irish capital early on Saturday for his first official visit to Ireland since he became Prime Minister. It concerns me that both of them are best of buddies at the moment, to be honest with you, because he couldn't be a worse buddy, could he, really? When you think about it, he's the most woke Prime Minister they've ever had. Mind you, that would suit Simon Harris. Mr. Harris said a reset, that's a great word, they use that quite a lot, don't they? A reset in relations had to be embedded. Peace and prosperity, mutual respect and friendship, but equipped that may have to be paused for the match. But the Irish President, Michael D. Higgins, also sat with the leaders during the game. And the boos from the home fans could be heard during God Save the King prior to the kickoff, while many of the 2,981 travelling English supporters chanted throughout the Irish anthem. Now, I suppose if you look, have we grown up at all? We've seen recently, of course, the song from the Wolf Tones, which is a Celtic symphony, and Ooh Ah Up the Ra has become popular. Not, by the way, because I think there's an anti-British sentiment. I think young people who sing it at an Electric Picnic or whatever it happens to be with these pensioners up on the stage, you know, banging away at the tune, I don't think they even actually know what they're talking about or what they're singing. But we have seen an increase in popularity of that kind of sentiment at festivals. I mean, it's only right that we remember the British occupation of Ireland and the Civil War and the men and women who lost their lives, reclaiming Ireland from the British. It's also only right that we remember the troubles in the North and the innocent people who died, of course, in that time. But since the Good Friday Agreement, we've had relative peace on the island, and our relationship with Britain is good and is economically very important, of course, as well. So is it time we left the past in the past? Nobody's saying forget the past, but is it time we left it in the past and moved on and grew up from this kind of bigotry and bitterness? Let me know what you think, by the way. The number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Joining me just to get the conversation going is David Quinn from the Iona Institute and also a journalist with the Irish Independent, or Sunday Independent. David, good afternoon to you.
Good, how are you?
Sorry about that, Dave, and I do apologise. We had a slight technical
issue. That's okay, no worries.
We had it sorted out. These are the gremlins get into the system sometimes, you know?
Yes.
David, I mean, have we grown up?
No. But I thought we had, and then it turned out we hadn't.
Yeah.
So, if you remember, Sir Queen Elizabeth came here in 2011 to great fanfare, and this was supposed to be finally Irish-British relations were completely healed, and we could move on. And I remember lots and lots and lots of commentary at the time to that effect.
Well, nobody ever thought they would see Martin McGuinness shaking the hand of the Queen. Yeah, of course.
Well, you see, this is it. And there was lots and lots and lots of that sort of stuff. Now, if you remember, the streets were kept clear because there was a nervousness that, you know, some kind of, you know, very hardline Republican elements might go mad, but that didn't happen. And I suspect, by the way, had people been allowed to see her, quite large numbers would have turned out. But anyway, they were nervous and didn't want that kind of thing to go all around the world.
Yeah, the whole visit, if I remember rightly, the whole visit was quite civilised.
It was. But as I say, the point of this is it was taken as finally, okay, we've drawn a line under the past, and we've moved on. I think Mary McAleese was president at the time, and she was very much making that point. But then along comes Brexit. And it turns out that in sections of society, anti-British feeling hadn't really gone away at all.
What was that? Was that because Boris Johnson kind of threw Ireland under the bus when it came to Brexit?
Well, what do you see? He wasn't PM at the time. Like when the Brexit referendum happened, David Cameron was Prime Minister, and then he resigned straight away.
Well, I suppose I was referring to the backstop towards the end, yeah.
But no, but I mean, a lot of this very anti-British feeling had bubbled right back up to the surface before he ever became PM. So I think he became PM was in 2019, and then it was the election at the end of that year, which he won in the landslide, but Theresa May had been Prime Minister in the meantime. And the whole thing was a complete mess, if you remember, and all the rest of it. But I just remember hearing, like, you'd meet people, and you wouldn't expect them to be coming out with all this anti-British stuff, but a lot of them were. These are people who would have, you know, previously abhorred the IRA and Sinn Féin and that kind of thing. And yes, there they were, you know, giving out about Britain. And of course, Tories in particular drive Irish people mad. So anyway, I just sort of all got stoked again. There was a whole thing about putting on the green jersey, and Leah Varadkar and Simon Coveney, it looked like they were almost trying to swipe Sinn Féin's clothes by getting really, really hardline about some of the issues in the Brexit negotiations. And they wouldn't have been doing that if they thought that was politically unacceptable, including among their own Fine Gael supporters. So that kind of surprised me as well. So the 2011 thing was actually an illusion. We hadn't drawn a line under the past at all. It was still all there, still waiting to bubble to the surface. And now it just seems to be getting worse. Because I don't remember, maybe I'm wrong, I mean, do you remember us previously booing?
Not to that extent. I mean, there has been booing in Northern Ireland even in relation to, when we played up there, but it's kind of different. I mean, not to that kind of volume. Thankfully, there was no trouble and we didn't have a repeat of what happened at Lansdowne Road many, many years ago. Mind you, that was a separate incident where you had a group of people coming over intent and causing problems, hooligans. Mm. But in saying that, you know, it went off pretty peacefully. But it was seen as grossly disrespectful. And I'm looking at the British news this morning, GB News and a couple of others are reporting on it, you know, about the Irish fans disrespecting God Save the King. Now, not only that, of course, Lee Carsley is in the news as well. But look, I think to be fair to him, he said he's always taken a neutral position when it comes to the anthem, and he's never sang the Irish one either. So, I mean, I don't think he's favouriting one over the other. So, he's in a difficult situation, obviously.
He is, because he played for Ireland for years and, you know, he's British born and all that. So he has to kind of, you know, stay a bit neutral.
Yeah.
So we can understand why he's doing that. A very odd position, by the way, for the current England manager not to be singing the English anthem. But he's on the other hand, he's here in Ireland and he played for the Irish team for ages. So it's a difficult one for him. So, but, I mean, his circumstances were kind of unique.
Yeah.
So we can kind of give him a pass on that.
Hmm.
But the crowd booing...
I mean, I mentioned as well, and we were chatting on the phone earlier on, and we talked about the Celtic Symphony by the Wolvetones. And this year, of course, you know, at the Electric Picnic, you know, this kind of ooh-ah up the ra has become more popular again. Now, that, by the way, originally, according to the writers of the song, that was taken from Graffiti on a Glasgow Wall from 1987, where it said, "We're magic, up the Celts, ooh-ah up the ra," right? So it wasn't exactly what people think it is. But in saying that, we all know what it is. But I imagine... Even though that's become really popular again, most of those 23 and 24-year-olds who are singing that have no understanding of what that actually means.
Probably not. But remember, some of the members of the Irish women's football team were singing the same thing.
That's right.
I mean, but like, and the Wolvetones are a very Republican band. I remember seeing him years ago in the Wexford Inn, and I don't have a Republican bone in my body, really, but so appeal to someone, not to others, but that, you know, be there as a
certain type of clientele, really, isn't it? Yeah,
I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Some friends went, and they kind of, you know, they said, come along. So in I went, and just it struck me just how strongly Republican they are.
Yeah.
Right, and singing along to their songs and singing Ooh Up the Ra, that doesn't mean nothing. Mm. It means it's acceptable to sing it. And again, if you go back in time, was it so acceptable to sing it at concerts? All right, like Electric Picnic or whatever, and I don't think it was. So something has shifted.
But didn't Sinn Féin have kind of done this themselves? I mean, obviously Mary Lou more recently, you know, at Our Deshes or whatever it happens to be, or she's given speeches, she'll do the Chucky Arlour at the end of it as well. I mean, that's seen as, you know, insightful to some people, by some people. Not everybody, obviously. If you're a Republican, you don't see it that way. You know what I mean? But some people see it as insightful or incendiary. But they have no problem doing it.
But see, there's a weird kind of dynamic at work here. So Ireland... Irish nationalism, such as it is, only seems to express itself against Britain. Mm-hmm. So you don't see it expressed ever against the European Union. So we concede more and more and more sovereignty to Brussels, and that's not a problem. That doesn't mean any dilution of sovereignty or the power of the national parliament and this sort of stuff. It just rises to the surface again when it comes to Britain, obviously for reasons of history. And actually, I think one of the reasons that we are traditionally so pro-EU in this country is because it was seen as a way of getting out from under Britain's shadow. Mm. So that's why we were so anxious to join 1973. And we couldn't join, by the way, before Britain joined, because we were so economically tied together. That's why Brexit, by the way, was caused such commotion here, because hang on a minute, like, we went in with you because we're so closely tied to you, and now you're getting out of it. What effect is it going to have on us? And it's caused a really, really bad reaction here. Again, somewhat understandable. There's all these historical reasons for it, but it just seems to me, if you've reduced Irish nationalism to just considering our relationship with Britain and nobody else, and not considering, well, maybe we need to take back a bit of control from...
It's quite bizarre when you think about it. Well, it's quite bizarre when you think about it, that the majority of the people who would be there booing on Saturday, I'm sure they watch British television. I'm sure they follow British football teams, be it Man United or Liverpool or whatever it happens to be. Mm. You know, and they're completely immersed in British culture, as we are here in Ireland. We speak the Queen's English, if you want to go that far. And yet we have this ability to still hate them so much. Oh, I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's obviously, I mean, hopefully it's only a minority. I don't know how big a minority it is. It'll be interesting to find out how big it is. But something is emerging that wasn't so visible before. Mm-hmm. And some of it, as you say, kids going along singing Who Up the Ra, they don't really know exactly what they're singing along to. But again, if you go back a few decades, they weren't singing along to it. It was so something has made it more acceptable, even if you can't read too much into it ideologically. So I don't know. I mean, there's some kind of ancestral memory, obviously, to do with Britain and the years of oppression and that kind of thing. And you'd have thought, like, this is like 2024, we're 102 years after independence.
Yeah.
So, like, at what point do you say, well, we really need to move on now?
Yeah.
And draw a line onto the past. I mean, it took, you know, so Queen Elizabeth comes here in 2011, and so I think the previous time a British monarch had been here was, I think Queen Victoria had been here maybe Edward VIII, couldn't be sure, early part of the 20th century anyway. So it took basically 100 years for a reigning British monarch to be able to come over to their closest neighbour.
To feel safe enough to actually step onto our soil, yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
See, again, that was.
I just feel we're going backwards. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, I understand why people have those bad memories, and I always say, you know, should we just leave the past to the past? And then people come back to me and they say, "Oh, you can't just do that now. There's too much of the past. Too many people have lost their lives." And I go, "I'm going to do it." What?
102 years since independence. Yeah. I mean, I suppose like there's people who say, "Well, okay, we got this dividing line." You know, where the border is. Okay, fair enough, I get that point. But haven't we decided that eventually that will be decided democratically?
Mm. Well, you would like to think so, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Yeah, so okay, so that will be decided democratically in the end. So we've kind of decided to decide, but we're going to do it the right way. Okay. So that should be good enough.
Well, listen, David, thank you very much indeed. And I appreciate you coming on and talking to us today. Journalist of the Sunday Independent and Iona Institute, David Quinn, thank you. Let me go to Malachy Steenson if I can as well. Malachy, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Niall.
As a self-professed Republican, I mean, you must be a little bit embarrassed, Malachy, when you hear them booing at a football match, for God's sake.
Well, I'm not embarrassed because I don't watch soccer or any of your foreign games. I've really no interest in what the Free State team does. But bearing that in mind, the British soccer team has no difficulty in booing everybody else's national anthem when it suits them.
But for different reasons. They're just doing it because they're hooligans. You know what I mean?
Well, I think you have to put it in the context of this is a football match. You know, people will shout whatever they want to try and get at the other side.
It's more than that. We do it because of the history between the two countries.
We don't, Niall. Because if the people who are there booing most likely follow soccer teams like Man United or Liverpool or some other English crowd are fully indoctrinated into English culture. So it's somewhat hypocritical of them to, you know, be booing something that they would support regularly, you know. And if I was to go and say to any of those people who are booing there, there's a bus on the way to the north to take it back in the morning. Are you coming? They'd be hiding under their beds like most of today's people who claim to be Republicans.
Classic
who were hiding when there was any. Under the beds when there was anything to be done.
David Quinn was saying there does seem to be a bit of a resurgence. We thought that had gone away. You know, I suppose the whole idea of Martin McGuinness shaking the Queen's hand, the Queen's visit to Ireland, although we weren't allowed to come out into the streets, so to speak, for obvious reasons that it was the first visit and got 100 years, maybe, I don't know. I mean, realistically...
Well, hold on. Not long were we not allowed to come out on the streets. Well, people lifted... There was a massive security presence to stop Republicans protesting against the visit of...
But it was understandable. It was understandable.
Well, you can't have it both ways, Noel.
Yeah, but no, but hang on. No, but that, no, it was only... No, but, look, I mean, it was... That was the first visit by a brain... You would know better than I do. How many years? 100 years? Is it 100 years since a reigning monarch?
Well, Queen Victoria was last here in the early part of the last... I can't remember the exact year. Around 1910 or 12, I think.
There you go. 100 years.
But hold on. The monarch... And the current monarch have been in this country many times in the past 100 years. They just didn't come to south of the border. But they were in our country.
Yeah,
they were regularly in the six counties. Mm. But what did the Good Friday Agreement... Because this is what it goes back to. Because this is where David Quinn and people are saying, oh, well, all these things are resolved and all of this. There is a border on the island. The six counties are occupied by the Crown. So we still don't have sovereignty.
We do have an agreement that eventually democracy will decide.
Who has an agreement?
The Good Friday Agreement that eventually the democracy, when there's a border poll and democracy will decide.
An agreement that the people in the South didn't vote for.
Well, absolutely. Okay, but that's... But the thing about it is, it's still better than what we had in the 1970s, isn't it? People running around with guns in their hand.
Hold on. What we have is... The so-called voice of nationalism in the six counties and of republicanism, who engaged in a war which 3,500 people died and who surrendered and who now administer with great gusto and even with more gusto than the unionist British power in Ireland. So, you know, I won't take any lectures from the provisionals in relation to any of this. But nothing was solved, Niall. The exact same arrangements continue as did in 1922, except that 3,500 people died since 1969 to achieve absolutely nothing in terms of bringing the matter forward. So, as Pearce said in 1915 at the grave of O'Donovan Rossa, Ireland Unfree will never be at peace, so there will always
But you'd be one of the very first people to turn around to me and say, in relation to the Ukraine-Russia war, right? Which, on a larger scale, is very similar to what happened in the occupation of Ireland, right?
Oh no, I would totally dispute that.
Hang on. Let me finish what I'm saying. You'd be one of the first people to turn around to me and say, "Well, you know, we should be able to resolve that by peace talks, or there should be an agreement, or some sort of peace talks." Well, that's what we did. It didn't suit everybody. Yeah, an agreement between two countries to stop a war, which is essentially what it was. I mean. Is never going to satisfy everybody. Never. course
well,
it's not.
Well, firstly, Niall, neither of those countries ever conceded, being the 26-county state or the British state, never conceded that there was a war. It was a terrorist insurrection, according to them, or it was criminals just running around. But the core issue, Niall, was never resolved. And giving the unionists a veto over the future of this island does not resolve the problem. It only puts it off till another day. You know, and we can.
But I think, I think we'd all prefer that than people running around with guns in their hand, wouldn't we?
Well, it's not a matter of what we prefer, Niall. I'm not here to say what I prefer. I'm here saying what the reality is.
Why do you think when you? So just before I come to Angela and Jason, when you say the electric picnic there recently, right? The Wolftones went down like a storm, like and everybody's singing ooh ah up the ra. David has said he's noticed this too, a kind of resurgence in that. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I think that 90% of the people who are chanting Ooh Up the Ra have no understanding of what it actually means and what it means to many people and the effect it can have on many people. We've also heard Sinn Féin, of course, at the end of speeches saying Chucky Our Lore, which some people believe is incendiary.
Well, I don't think they say that anymore. Not.
Well, Mary Lou said it going back a while ago.
They have abandoned any concept or pretext of any connection.
She only said, it was only in the last, I remember talking about it on a topic on the show in the last couple of years that she said it somewhere up the north. She was at the end of a speech. You know what I mean? So, it wasn't that long
ago. And what is that? If you look at what sloganizing was done.
But for some people, it's incendiary.
Let's take that phrase particularly, our day will come, Chucky our law. Well, in my view, their day has come and gone. But that's another argument for another day.
I would agree with you there.
What sloganising done within nationalism and republicanism was to give people a slogan that they just repeated without actually understanding what it meant. Even in English, they didn't understand what it meant. But all of the focus then went into Chucky Our Law and Cobhlach Ta Bhuil and all of these things, and nobody actually looked at what was actually happening on the ground and the sellout that was being pursued. But this is all getting somewhat away from whether people... I think Irish people naturally will have an antipathy towards Britain and towards
England. For how long? Another 100 years or 200 years? How long is that going to go on?
Well, Niall, as we know now, the demographics in this country has changed, and so in another 10 years,
there won't be anyone to
the majority of people in this country won't even know that there was a war in the
70s and 80s. Well, hang on a second, Maliki. Let me go to Angela and Jason as well. Stay there, Maliki. Angela, hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
It was kind of embarrassing to hear them booing. Now, I know they boo at matches, anthems every now and again. The British do, but for different reasons. This was done for historical reasons, as far as I'm concerned. You know, because they were British. There are other teams that have played in the Aviva Stadium where we didn't boo their anthems.
I don't. Like, they are an absolute pack of scumbags who do this, who haven't a bloody clue, who probably wouldn't even be able to tell you the date of the Easter Rising. They just go out to cause shit. And it's totally disrespectful. And here we go. Yes, I know I'm bringing it up again. England play in Ireland every second year in rugby. They're never booed. English teams come over here and play from England, Scotland, Wales, play over here.
That's because the posh people go to rugby, isn't it? You know what I mean?
It's not just posh. Come down to Limerick and I can tell you it's not posh people that go.
I'm just saying.
I think you have to differentiate between Limerick rugby and the rugby in the rest of the country. I mean, outside of Limerick, because Limerick was always had a working class base within rugby. That's why rugby is totally different in Limerick than it is in the rest of the country. But it is
middle class. It's not the same crowd, Angela.
It's the D4 crowd going to see the rugby.
No, hold on a second.
The majority of people who go to rugby matches have good jobs.
You've had your say, right?
Yeah.
Connacht aren't all upper class. Ulster aren't all upper class. Leinster are full of shit.
Ulster rugby is mainly unionist. Very few Catholics in the six counties follow rugby.
Yeah,
rugby in the north is followed by unions.
They don't boo the Irish when they come up there, do they?
But sure, they don't play the Irish national anthem. They don't play the Irish national anthem.
Not when
they have this
rugby,
Ireland's call rubbish.
An Ireland team. When it's an Ireland team, they do. During the Six Nations, when it's Ireland playing England, they play the national anthem.
They play that other rubbishy thing that they're trying to get people
Ireland's call.
No,
the people in general who
now,
The people in general who follow rugby would have no difference. They're the home rulers of yesterday.
No, Malachy, you're not going to talk over me today, Malachy. This will show you the knowledge that you have. When Ireland play at home, they play our Ron Levine. So don't tell me that they play that other rubbish, because they don't. And if you think
they do play the other rubbish,
it's wrong.
And they try to equate with the national anthem.
They don't play it all the time, Malachy.
All the time.
They don't play it all the time.
I know they don't play it all the time, but why do they play it at all?
I have no idea. I think they're trying. They were trying to make that the national anthem at one stage, weren't they?
Yes, they were, and nobody wants that.
No.
But when Ireland play at home, they play our
Ron
Levine.
Hold on, they do.
Okay, hang on both of you for a second. Angela. Angela, do you think this kind of anti-British sentiment, this kind of bigotry or this kind of bias towards Britain has become worse in the last few years rather than better? The bitterness?
I don't think it's become worse. I just think it's still the same. And people need to cop on now and move on. You know, I'm not saying to forget what happened in the past. I'm absolutely not saying that. But the thing is, it's over 100 years. It's over 100 years. Should we not just try and...
Yeah, but Malachy's argument is it's not over. Malachy's argument is it's not over. It might be over 100 years, the Civil War, but it's not over. It's still happening. We still only have a 26-county Ireland. They're still occupying the land. So that's his argument.
But what are you going to do about it, Malachy? Is booing at a soccer or football match going to change anything?
I've already said that the people who are doing the booing, you know, are people who support English soccer clubs in general. You know, so they're a bit hypocritical. I mean, I've said that.
Not a bit.
You know, and I'm not condoning what they do.
And they'll shop.
But the point I'm making.
And they'll shop in Pennies. And they'll shop when Debenhams was open. And they'll shop in Marks and Spencers. They haven't a bloody clue what's going on.
I'm not so sure they'll be shopping at Marks and Spencer.
No, I don't even shop at Marks and Spencer. It's too expensive.
Okay. Too expensive.
Yeah. Stay there, both of you, for a second. Let me just bring in Jason. Jason, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall. How are you, pal?
Good. Jason, what are you saying? It's only a bloody match. Get over it.
It's only a game. What are you talking? It's a knickers and a bleed mouth for. Do you honestly got anybody in England over there that follows soccer gives a shite come Monday?
Yeah, but
they don't.
Yeah, but I'm looking at it in British news this morning, and they are reporting
it's
on
GB
it.
GB News. Put Billy Bunch of 10 numbers there with his avatar of the fucking British Bulldog and a picture of his Royal Highness. Will you go way out with that? Have any of you ever actually read the lyrics to God Save the King? I mean, do you know they won't sing the national anthem in Liverpool? They do that off the thing.
Yeah.
They won't. And as for the rugby, Ireland's call is played before every single Irish international match, no matter where it is in the world. Ireland's call is played because you don't want to play the national anthem. Because Angela, let me talk, please. Angela, it is. I've been watching rugby. Oh, geez. So are you the only one on here with a clue, are you? So they don't play Ireland's call. Angela, can you let me speak?
Hang on. One at a time. Sorry, let Jason finish what he's saying. I let you respond, Angela. Go ahead.
At every single rugby game, they play Ireland's call because the teams from the four Providence play on it. It's in the lyrics. They play Ireland's call at every single rugby game. I watch every Irish rugby game. I don't watch the Unwook. I watch every Irish
if
rugby
you
game.
Okay,
oh, Jesus Christ. So they don't play it.
Hang on. Now. I'm not going to argue with either one of you because I don't support rugby and I've never watched a game in my life. Andrew, you, as far as you're concerned, they don't play it at every game.
Niall, I'm going to say it, right? And I will ask what do they play? What do they play in the Aviva before the match?
They play Ireland's call. Then they play the President's national anthem when he walks
Ireland's
on.
Call? What do they play before Ireland's
the
call?
The presidential one, because he walks out and he shakes everybody's hand, and then they play the other one. Yeah, I don't think they play the whole lot, maybe they do. But
let's not fight. We've come to an agreement. You're telling me now, Jason, you agree they play both?
Well, I said they do play. I said they play. Okay. They play Ireland's call at every game.
Yeah, but they do play Aaron O'Vean when the president walks out.
They do. I'm sure they do. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but then, isn't that the point she's making?
Listen, I couldn't give a shite about the rugby. We're not talking about the rugby. We're not here talking about the soccer. Who gives a monkeys about it? I'm delighted that little fucker was sitting there. I was just answering you what you were talking, Shay. It's about the soccer. I'm delighted everybody built. I'm delighted everybody built. And I'm hoping that little Muppet sitting beside the other Muppet, Keir Starmer, I'm hoping he was sitting there hoping the ground swallowed him. All right? They don't play our national anthem up at Windsor Park when we're up there, okay? They don't. Do you think the unionists and the loyalists give a shit about us when they're born in our tricolour on the 12th of July, when they're born in pictures of our elected leaders? They couldn't care. Most people really couldn't care. Guess why? Because they get on with the loyalists.
Tell me this, Jason. Jason, I'm not condoning any burning of any flags, but is the English flag ever burned up there? Is the English flag ever burned up there?
I'm not sure. I don't think they do a celebration like the 12th of July. When?
Well, Malachy with the expert. Malachy, I'm assuming, as Jason rightly pointed out, there's a huge disrespect for the Republic of Ireland on the 12th of July. But I'm sure at times of the year, Malachy, Republicans burn the British flag as well, do they?
They do.
Well, they don't in general. I mean, because they used to... Well, hold on.
Andrew, will you let somebody else talk?
Internment bombers. But now, in nationalist areas, because of the control of the provisionals and they're now part of the establishment, bombers are effectively banned in nationalist areas.
Yeah,
so there is no, I mean, there have been occasions where the Union Jack has been burned. Of course there has.
Yeah. A protest.
But there was a war going on, and why wouldn't it be?
Okay, but sorry, but Jason, is it embarrassing for us to see, you know, and I know, I've seen, you know, just Premier League matches, you know, kind of sometimes you hear, you know, or it's sort of say internationals in Britain, you see, you know, the opposing team coming on and their anthem being booed, but that's for different reasons. We all know why the booing was happening on Saturday. It's because of the history between the two countries. Is it disrespectful? Have we moved on? Have we not grown up? Are we like children?
It's football. Do you think anybody else cares? That goes
Nobody
on inside
actually gives
there.
A damn.
Niall, do you know what the English sing when the Germans are playing against them? All about them blowing their Luftwaffe out of the air. Right, they have a song where they're trying to... The English, some liberal English are trying to get rid of it because it's upsetting the Germans. Do you know what the Germans said? Fucking grow a backbone. It's only a song at a match. Have you ever heard the lyrics to God Save the King? It sounds ridiculous. Boo the shit over. And I'm glad the British Prime Minister was sitting beside our non-elected gobshite. I really am.
Why?
Because, look at the face on him. He's looking like he's grown into his fucking confirmation suit. For Jesus' sake, he wasn't elected. He snuck his way in there. He fucking slithered his way up that greasy pole by being the T-boy and the raffer, everybody. And now he has us all in his little say. Will you go away? Don't talk, start me on him.
Did you see him dancing at the weekend?
No.
He's a fucking moron. He is.
I didn't see him dancing at the weekend. But it does concern me, by the way, that this is probably the best friendship I've seen between two prime ministers, both in Ireland and Britain. Well, probably in a long time. And unfortunately, it's Keir Starmer, who's one of the wokest, leftist, nuttiest prime ministers Britain has ever had. I just read there yesterday, I think it was 5,000 millionaires are now removing their money from British banks because of the new taxes they're going to bring in the wealthy in Britain. So they're going to drive all the wealth out of Britain. Keir Starmer is going to destroy that country. But I don't think his prime ministerial role will last too long.
Because Harris is doing the same with this country.
You know, that's why they can be best of friends. And I heard them using that phrase, by the way. He said, what was it? Oh, yeah, he said a reset in relations had to be embedded in peace. That word reset scares the life out of me.
Reset keeps popping up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They keep telling us it's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I know.
The great reset.
Yes. Sorry, Angela, but hang on. Lorraine wants to talk to you, Angela. Go ahead. Lorraine. Yeah, go
Angela,
ahead.
At the start of the rugby matches, they play Ireland's call and then the presidential anthem. They do not play our national anthem at every Ireland match. Before you shout Aviva at me, go look at YouTube and go look at other matches that were played in the Aviva. It's the presidential national call.
Lorraine, I don't need to look it up. I'm at them.
Don't come on here lecturing me about rugby. Don't come on here lecturing me about look up YouTube.
I don't need to. I'm at them. Okay.
So am I.
You do. Oh, you
so
go to the rugby, do you?
I do.
Oh, do you?
I was at the Ireland against England match in Croke Park when the first time England ever played in Croke Park. I was at it.
In 2007.
And the same banter.
You were at you were at one match. They never played Ireland's call at that.
I think
they didn't play Ireland's.
Okay, I think the point that was made earlier on, I think there was an agreement in some words, Lorraine, with Angela and Jason, in the fact that they probably sometimes play both.
They sometimes,
yes,
the way
they
she's
do. When
it's
a
whole, like, they play, it's a whole, the whole time.
Yeah, but she kind of is right. They do. They do. No, she didn't say that. She just said they do play the Irish National Anthem. And it seems they do. People are texting in saying they do play both. They play, when the president walks out to shake hands with the team, they play the Irish National Anthem.
That's what I said, the president, yeah, the presidential anthem.
They play Aron Levine at home in the Aviva, and when they're away, they play Ireland's Call. I do not agree with it. I certainly don't. I think it's an absolute disgrace. But to turn around and say that they only play Ireland's Call, people are talking out through their holes.
Okay, let's move on from that argument. Lorraine, the booing at the match the other day, is a time that as a country and a population, we kind of left this bigotry, because it does exist in the past and
we
kind of moved on.
I agree with Malachy and Jason. It's a game of football. It was a bit of laugh. They were booing. England boo at Germany. There's other countries that boo. They don't play our national anthems in some parts of England. What is everyone getting on their high horse because we booed the English national anthem? It'll be forgotten.
Why would they play
tomorrow?
The national anthem? Where in England don't they play the national
anthem? In Liverpool. They don't play it.
Yeah, but the thing is, when you're playing, when it's Man United play Liverpool, when it's all of them, it's the same with Munster, Leinster, Munster. They don't play the national anthem.
No, well, they don't domestic football matches. They don't play the national anthem anyway.
Yeah.
No,
for
but
matches,
yeah, but if there's an international match, let's say for example, be it rugby or whatever it is, or I don't know what match, because I'm out of sport, is played in Liverpool, they don't play the national anthem.
They don't play the national
anthem.
But
you see, Niall, it's the same mentality in this state that produced that book for schools last week that we got stopped.
Mm.
It's the hatred of anything Irish and anything that gives any semblance of any self-respect for this country, whether it's booing. I mean, they want to change the national anthem because it doesn't suit the middle classes here, or the NGOs. They want to change the flag. All appeasement.
But didn't Sinn Féin say, going back a few years ago when they were talking about, you know, moving forward with, you know, a united Ireland, Sinn Féin said the anthem and the flag was on the table.
You mean provisional Sinn Féin?
Yeah.
Who have right to call themselves Sinn Féin.
But that's what they said. That's they said. The anthem and the flag is on the table. In other words, they seemed happy enough to negotiate changes.
Well, you see, it can be on their table. But it's not on the table of Sinn Féin or of Republicans.
But
I mean,
you know what? Do you
or
know
of
what?
The nationalist people of Ireland.
But is that not, and I'm not having a go at you, Malachy and Lorraine, but is that not a sign that both of you are not willing to try to change, to bring about some sort of semblance of peace or going forward, that we can all move past all of this 100 years?
The sovereignty of this nation cannot be questioned. We have an inalienable right.
I'm not suggesting we
to
in,
our own
bad
sovereignty. Why would we be changing the flag? Do you think one unionist or one loyalist will support
to please everybody else?
And do you think that will make one difference, one bit of difference to any unionist or loyalist, what the national anthem is or what the flag of this country is?
Well, you know as well as I do, to have a united Ireland in this country, unless you kicked every unionist out of the country, to have a united Ireland in this country, there are a lot of hurdles that have to be overcome. Those hurdles are going to
be free
healthcare, all of those things, right? But the anthem and the flag are part of those hurdles.
No, they're not. No. The first thing that has to be overcome, and the first thing that we need, and the demand for Republicans and nationalists for centuries, is a British statement of intent to withdraw. And let us solve the problems on this island amongst ourselves.
But do you
without
not
interference
think,
from either Brussels
do,
or
do
London
think,
or Washington.
Like,
go ahead,
can
Angela.
I just say, right, Niall, can I just say, right, that I don't agree with any fighting. I don't agree with any of this. I don't agree with scumbags. I don't agree with arseholes that are involved in all of this. But do you not think that there are some unionists and there are some loyalists up there who deserve a voice in this?
Have a voice in relation to the numbers that they have on the island. They can't have a veto because they've had an artificial... Hold on. They can't have a veto because they have lived in an artificially created state in order, which was designed in order to give them the veto.
But that's their country.
One small minority on this island cannot determine the future
minority.
Of the rest of us.
Do you think if they put it to a vote now in Northern Ireland to become
a free state?
If there was a vote in Northern Ireland now on whether to leave...
Where's that?
Malachy.
Where's Northern Ireland?
You're being petty now, right?
I don't recognise the legitimacy of the state that you're calling Northern Ireland.
Okay, if there was a vote in those six counties up the top of the country, do you think they would vote to stay in six counties?
You cannot have a vote...
Hang on, both of you. Malachy knows the answer to that question. He just won't answer it. And the answer to that question is quite simple, Malachy, and you know it too. And there's been numerous polls done, by the way, in the Belfast Telegraph and many other publications. And it is almost 50-50.
Hold on, Niall. Why do you think Donegal isn't part of the six counties? Why is Donegal being cut off from the southern part of the island? Hold on. Why do you think the state was created into a Protestant state? Hold on. Will you listen?
I'm holding on.
A Protestant state for a Protestant people. That's what was created. That's why Donegal and the other two counties of Ulster are not part of the six counties. That's why they hived off six.
By the way, on a note of the booing, by the way, I'm just looking at an article here from the paper from last year or the year before, whatever it was. England fans boo Italy's national anthem just days after receiving UEFA fine. And they got a UEFA fine or something at the time for that as well. You know?
Yeah, we know where all them points
went. But this is the thing. Malachy, it's okay for you in the rest of the country outside the six counties to turn around and say, I want those six counties back. But what about the people up there?
It's not just me that said this. This is what we fought a revolution for hundreds of years. And that's what the people determined. When the people in the last three elections in this country in 1918 decided that they wanted to form their own parliament went into the Mansion House and formed Dáil Éireann. That is the legitimacy of this country.
Okay, sorry, Lorraine, you wanted to say something there, Lorraine. Go ahead.
No, I'm just agreeing with Malachy.
Mm.
Completely. And
do you consider yourself a Republican, Lorraine?
I would do, yes.
Yeah, okay.
I have no problem saying that.
At what point do we accept that, look, we don't have an All-Ireland at this very moment in time. But there is a Good Friday Agreement, although Malachy says we didn't vote for it, and of course we didn't. But in saying that, there is an agreement there that at some point in the future, when we believe there's an appetite and there's a border poll, that maybe we can discuss a United Ireland. Yeah. But for now, it's just not feasible.
That situation is nothing new in the GFA. That was the position right from 1922, when the Northern State was created, that if there was a majority in the North that decided to leave the United Kingdom and join with the South, they could do it. But the state was created in order that majority would never materialise.
Hang on. Let Lorraine just answer the question I put to her there a few minutes ago. Sorry, Lorraine, before I come to Morris. Lorraine, can you accept that we are where we are? It is a bit of a stalemate, but in the future, democracy will decide.
Man, you're all talking about, like, how Sinn Féin put on, like, our flag and our anthem. Like, how much do we have to change our country? How much do we have to give up of Ireland to make all this happen? Like, we're all lefties and Republicans and all out there because we don't agree with this, that and everything else that everyone else does. How much of Ireland do I have to give up? And my identity, do I have to give up? Yeah, exactly, to give in to people like Angela. Like, how much of it do I have to give up?
Fuck off!
Everything.
Sorry, Angela. Repeat that.
No, can I ask Lorraine a question there? Lorraine, can we stop in the
Did she just say F-off? Sorry, yeah, go ahead, Angela.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Lorraine, do you ever shop in pennies?
Do I ever shop in pennies?
Yeah.
I do. And I shop in Dunn's.
Do you ever shop in Tesco's?
No, I shop in Dunn's. I get my home delivery from Dunn's.
Well, you've never.
I can send
so you shop in pennies. So you will... So you support the English economy by stopping...
How do you make that up? Hold on. Pennies is owned by a company called Associated British Foods, which is owned by a Canadian company.
I didn't ask you, Malachy. I didn't ask you. I asked Lorraine.
Lorraine, okay, the point she's making is you do support Britain, because I'm sure you watch British television. And you do. You've been a Marks and Spencer, I'd say, once or twice in your life. You don't get to the door, look at the sign and go, I'm not going there, that's British.
Inevitably, I have been in British shops. But as I said, how much of my country, like, they're on about my flag.
Pennies is not a British shop.
I didn't ask you that.
I didn't ask you that. I said if you
Ireland
have
is not
such
a British
hatred,
show. That's your argument.
If you
originally Irish, actually, to be honest with you, then it became Primark.
I was going
to
say that wasn't Penny's originally Irish.
It was the first Penny's. Angela, the first Penny's was in Henry Street.
Yes, I know, but it's
Tom
now
Ryan,
Primark. It's been taken over.
And
Tesco,
it's owned by Galen
you've
Weston,
never stopped in Tesco.
Who owns Brown
Thomas. Do you watch EastEnders? Do you watch Coronation Street?
I have just said,
do you
watch... Angela, let me speak. Let me
Isn't
speak.
Isn't this the point I made in the beginning?
And yes. Honestly,
I'm
I
not interrupting. Malachy is.
I have been in British shops. I have inevitably been in British shops. But as I said, how much of my country do I have to give up? My flag, my anthem, everything to give up to appease everybody.
You've asked that twice. You said to appease me
as
well, so I'm asking you.
You haven't answered it, Angela. You haven't answered it.
I did.
You haven't answered it.
I did answer it. Did you not hear me? I said, fuck off.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, that's not an answer then, is it?
Oh, it is. It's a very clear answer. It's a very clear
answer.
That you are talking out through. You are talking out through your backside that you will shop around Ireland. I guarantee your kids support football, English football, all of that, yet you hate the English.
I know, hold on, where did you get that from, Angela? She never at any point said she hates
I
the English.
I used the words, I hate the English. When did I use that word? I hate the English. When did I use that
Well,
sentence?
It sounds like you do.
No, all she said was she wants to keep her sovereignty and she wants to keep her independence and she wants to keep her republicanism.
So do I. But I'm a realist.
No, you don't.
So do I, but I'm a realist. That I
okay,
think about people
said, because
outside
my views
of
differ from Angela's, my views are up my hole. That's exactly what she said. Because my views differ from her, my views are up my hole.
Well, you can poke my hone. Stay there for a second, both of you. Let me just
you
go
can
to
fucking kiss my arse.
Okay, stay there. Let me go to Morris. Stay there, Angela and Lorraine. Morris, hi. How are you?
There was an example of never to mix sport and politics. This is it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the reason why the British king was built. Back in history, he was commander-in-chief of the paratroopers who murdered people in the north of Ireland in Bloody Sunday. And now he's king of England and he's king of all the armed forces in the Great Britain and wherever they are based around the world.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of history there.
Of course.
And, the Irish people were getting back at the English supporters when they wrecked Lansdowne Road in 95, when they tore the place apart and the guards gave them a good hiding. So it was payback time. So we paid them back by doing their
action. To be fair, that wasn't the English supporters that did that in Lansdowne Road. That was a group of individuals. What was the name of that gang? They were a group of hooligans who were being watched by the police at the time. Unfortunately,
Combat 18.
Yeah, they were scumbags.
Come here. Any guy that walks around with his national flag as his shorts is a gobshite. You'd never see an Irish man in green, white, and orange shorts, would you?
You would if you go to Marbella or the Canaries.
But what I'd say to you is, they disrespect everything. They went around. I seen a kid with a sign in England. She was on a protest. A coloured girl, a black girl, right? And she had on a, "We didn't come to Great Britain. Great Britain came to us." And there's your colonialism right there. They went around the world, ruled Britannia. Britannia rules the waves. And they conquered everything. And now it's payback time. Because they went into every country, took what they wanted, checked off, and now everybody's coming back for their slice of the cake off them in Great Britain.
Yeah, but how long? Morris, with the greatest respect, how long do you keep up that bitterness? And that, like, as we said already in the show, it was 100 years, realistically, since the last monarch came to Ireland. Obviously, the Queen came in 2000, whatever it was, but it was 100 years before that, since Queen Victoria was in Ireland. And even when the Queen came to Ireland, security was at its height. There was nobody allowed really out onto the streets to wave at her, although some people might have. And look, it went off pretty well. She spoke Irish. You know, she shook hands with Irish parliamentarians.
Yeah.
Not only that, Martin McGuinness, you know, who was, you know, second in command of the IRA, shook her hand. So you'd imagine that's kind of symbolism, isn't it? Well, Maliki doesn't agree with it because he doesn't support that anyway. But that's kind of symbolism of, okay, let's move on from all this now.
Oh, you understand that, yeah. And one of the things that I picked up on recently a while ago was when partition happened in this country and the English said, right, we're taking the 9 counties. We don't want 6, we want 9. And then they done their sums and they said, well, if there's 9 counties under air control, there's more Catholics than Protestants. Give them back 3.
They could have had,
the 6.
We could have
more Protestants than Catholics.
We could have gave
that's
them.
That's what they done, though.
Yeah, we could have gave them Leitrim. That would have been grand.
And Donegal. Well, they had them all, but there was more Catholics than Protestants, you know? You can buy, hey, listen, you know what? In Leitrim, right? Niall,
I'm joking.
Niall, you can buy a 5-bedroom house in Leitrim for 336,000.
Yeah, you're surprised.
Well, I mean, there you go. And yeah. you can put 18 bikes in the garden. But I'm telling you.
Yeah, but there's nowhere to go. Yeah.
We weren't at the races. Irish people have a right to react to anybody that has the dirty hands on part of this island. And why shouldn't we let them know? Why should we not boo who they believe in? Should the English
Angela monarchy... Angela said anybody that was boom, but she referred to them as scumbags earlier on.
Well, I remember Lansdowne Road. That's all I know. I have great memories of Lansdowne Road. As soon as it became the name that it is now, it became a venue. It's not a rugby ground anymore. It's a venue.
No,
they have
it's
teams
not.
There.
And
it's
I
choice.
Agree with that.
The heart has gone out of us. The heart has gone out of us.
That's very true.
You know?
I agree with you that.
No, I've been in Lansdowne Road hundreds of times because my father organised all the...
FAI.
Yeah, well, he was at the FAI, but he was also responsible for all the security in Lansdowne Road at every single match. And I used to go when I was 13 years of age, selling programmes. He got me a job there, making a fortune. Anyway, so I've been there. But Morris, to suggest, you know, that they didn't have to do something with it is bizarre because for health and safety reasons, they had
to. It was dangerous.
It was a dangerous...
Oh, I remember...
Stadium.
Yeah, I've no problem with that, Niall. I've no problem with that. And I'll give you an example. Angela talked about Limerick. Tomlin Park is the beating heart of rugby in this country because it's working class background. Malachy is right. And I met men from Limerick up supporting Ireland and they said, boy, we'll never come here again. The heart's gone out of the place. Mm-hmm. It's not a rugby ground anymore. It's a venue. That's progress. I know that's progress and they're making money. But I'll tell you one thing. If you have people that are not willing to come back because their heart has gone out of what they love, you're losing it. You're gone.
But that's not, it's not. But everybody doesn't view it like that. They do.
I won't go to the Aviva. I'll go for an Irish match because you know it's a sellout. I won't go to a Leinster Munster match up there because it won't even fill the stadium because Munster won't travel to it because it's a horrible stadium. It is an absolute.
Yeah, they have the matches in
stadium.
The RDS.
What's so horrible about it? By the way, just help me out here. What's so horrible about it, Angela?
You cannot get an atmosphere there. You can't.
Nothing.
It's
sterile.
Why?
It is. Don't know what it is.
I've only ever been to gigs at it. I've never been to a football match or a rugby match at it. But I was at ACDC going back many years ago, and it was a massive atmosphere. I was in Phil Collins.
That's
atmosphere.
Different. That's different. Sure, look, they call it the stadium that they built for Michael Bublé, right? Because he was the first to play in it. But in regards to rugby matches, soccer matches in there, you cannot get anything going inside there. It's just, it's hollow. It's like lifeless. It's a horrible stadium.
Lorraine, you're actually agreeing with her, yeah?
I am.
Well, Jane.
Ah, Lorraine, I love you to bits. You know that.
You just told her to F off a few minutes ago.
I love you too.
Yeah. But listen, ladies, just stay there for a second because I want to get back to the original argument, which is have we moved on from the bitterness of the past? Tommy, hi, how are you?
How are you doing, Noel? You well?
Good. Tommy, have we moved on from the bigotry and the bitterness, or is it just getting worse?
Well, you have.
you have, yeah, okay.
I think if you mix hot weather, sports, a 5 o'clock kickoff, alcohol and working class victim mentality, this is what you end up with.
Mm.
Some people will always be oppressed in their minds. We lost and then we won. We got our independence. So you can't keep crying over your ex-wife getting a new boyfriend. You know what I mean? We need to move on.
Yeah, well, as far as Malachy is concerned, the war is still on. Well, you know, when I say the war is still on, we still don't have a united Ireland.
Well, we can do it. We can do it by ballot, or we can do it by rifle. We don't have an army, so we have to do it by the ballot.
Mm.
As far as my granddad said, years ago after the Oma bombing, which was disgraceful, by the Provisional IRA or whatever, whoever they call themselves, he said they should just cut it off and just push it into the ocean and make them the Republic of Northern Ireland and just leave them alone because there's people up there that can't move on from the hatred. The hatred is generational. But-
Yeah, I know. I mean, look, obviously, I spend a lot of time in Northern Ireland, and you have three sections of people in Northern Ireland. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't notice any of that bitterness, really, to be honest with you. But here you have, you've got the Loyalists, you've got the Republicans, but you've also got a young generation now, up to the age of 25, 30 now, who are neither. They're not Loyalists, they're not Republican, they're Northern Irish people. So they're completely separated from what's going on in the past, and hopefully that will continue. By the way, so they're not even Irish, they're not British, they're Northern Irish. They consider themselves Northern Irish.
Well, I think that's the way forward. Like I said, I know
the Republic of Northern Ireland.
Why not?
Well, you drive Maliki to distraction if you say that to him. Is that a fair point, Lorraine? I know, Lorraine, in the grand scheme of things, you're looking for some sort of united Ireland. I realistically don't see that ever happening.
Realistically, on the horizon, is it going to happen in my lifetime? Probably not. Would I love to see it happen? 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. I would love to see it happen, but as I said, in my lifetime, I can't see it happening. It's not as simple as going, can we have them back, please?
No. I don't know. There's so many complications. There's the financial aspect of it. There's the flag. There's the, you know, the anthem.
As you said, the loyalists and stuff that don't want to be part of us and hate us and stuff like that. So it's not as easy.
It's not that they hate you. Yeah, and I don't think most of them do hate you, to be honest with you, but they're just like you, Lorraine, but they're British.
Yeah.
And as far as they're concerned, they're living in Britain.
I was brought up, my dad was a Republican. We were brought up, not brought up to hate the English. I had to say, I would never say I hate the English. But we were brought up, we were taught our history and we were taught what had happened. And it's just, to me, I want my sovereignty. I want my country. Leave it alone. Leave our flag alone. Leave our anthem alone. We're Irish. Fuck off and leave us alone.
Tommy, it was a bit childish on Saturday, wasn't it? Although, it does happen at matches now and again, but we all know why it happens at an Irish-English match.
Well, it's just typical drunken working-class mentality. Mm. It happens all the time when people drink too much. It's either the guards, it's either this, that, the other, it's the English. There's Simon Harris, let's boo him. Boo with their phone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Listen, you hear nobody thanking the English, like on Remembrance Day. Nobody thanks the English about World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Like what they've done against the Nazis, what they've done against ISIS, what they've done against Al-Qaeda. The past is the past, and nobody's coming after our flag. Trust me, nobody's going to get the Irish flag. The only way we get the Irish flag is if we keep handing it over to the EU. The British ain't coming back to take our flag, and the loyalists aren't either.
Yeah, that was an interesting point that David Quinn made. You know, we still have this bitterness against Britain, but most of us seem to welcome the EU. I don't know whether I do or don't at this stage, to be honest with you. But we don't seem to have an issue with that. We seem to be able to. We've handed over 80% of our sovereignty to the EU, and we did that without question, like the good little boys and girls.
Well, the EU is just a universal thing. Britain is, right beside us. The flag. There's a king. There's no king of the EU. You know what I mean? And most people aren't aware of exactly what we're doing, but they will be. They will be, but not at the moment.
Mm.
Well,
Germany always wanted to control Europe anyway. They've got their way eventually.
Well, listen, you don't hear French or Belgium or Polish banging on about Germany and Hitler the way we do about the English. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, thanks for that, Tommy. Let me go to John as well. Say there, Angela and Rain. These are entertaining, apart from anything else. These are like the two lads up on the balcony of the Muppet Show. Somebody, by the way, said, Angela is a plastic paddy and a traitor to her own people, so boo to the turncoat. That comes in from Dave on WhatsApp, by the way.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
Love you, Dave.
Are you a bit of a plastic paddy, Angela?
Oh, absolutely. Of course I am. I'm lying here. I'm at home. I have, the British flag on the bed. I've the British flag up all over the place. You know, for God's sake, just forgot. No, and I apologise to Lorraine.
Don't apologise. It was good crack.
That's what it's about. It's a debate.
I did, Andy. Don't worry. I didn't take offence to it.
Yeah,
don't
she's delighted. She's got a new phone anyway, so she doesn't care.
There you go.
Yeah, hang on, John. John, hi. How are you?
Greetings from the real capital of Cork.
Oh, shut up! For God's sake. John, I mean, look. I mean, the booing. Let's get back to the booing for a moment. Does it show that we haven't grown up? I mean, if anything at all, actually, by the way, the Cork people should be delighted with the British because the Queen went down there to the English market and they all welcomed her with open arms, didn't they?
They didn't, they? No. As I'm talking to you, I'm looking out my window on this beautiful sunny day in Cork City, right, the real capital, and I'm looking proudly at my tricolour flying on my flagpole outside of my door, which people take pictures of nearly on a daily basis, right? I'm proud of my flag. I guarantee you, no one else on this programme today that has contributors is flying a tricolour outside their home. So when you do that, come back to me then and I'll call you a proper Republican.
Lorraine, do you have a tricolour flying in your front garden?
I have a tricolour. I also have the proclamation up my hallway and I put bunting down for all the Ireland games. But my tricolour's there and my proclamation is right inside my front
door. There you go, John.
Well, Angela doesn't.
She has a rainbow flag outside hers.
Well, this is the whole thing. Like, more people you see in America, they're proud to fly the stars and stripes outside their home.
Yep.
You couldn't do it here for years because the special branch should be taking pictures of your house and you'll be on a watch list. Right?
We did talk about that a while ago on the show, the fact that the Irish flag is seen as incendiary, which is disgusting and despicable. By the way, it shouldn't be.
No. If Sinn Féin ever get into power and then try and touch that flag, that's the day I'll put a gun in my hand there and defend my flag.
There's no way they'll ever take my fucking national anthem.
Not in a million years. No, getting back to
it's
the
like a scene from Braveheart, isn't it? You know what I mean? They won't take my freedom.
They won't take our freedom.
Getting back to the booing, right?
No, I could understand when the two lads, Royce and Grealish, every time they touched the ball, like, I mean, they were booed, right? Because obviously they played for Ireland before and then they turned the jacket inside out and went to the other side, right? That's a given, right? So I could understand that. But as regards the booing, I've no time for the Royal family. I think they're a bunch of muppets. They should be out eating grass and pasture somewhere away out in the hills or whatever. But the thing is, if I'm over in England and that game has been played in Wembley Stadium, right? Ireland and England. And the fella next to me, when the Irish national anthem has been played, Englishman, is sitting in this hole, I will tell him to get up. Because before our national anthem was played, I was on my feet giving respect to the English national anthem. So I want this gobshite in there sitting in this hole. I will remonstrate him and say, listen, buddy, I showed respect for you. I don't believe in the royal family. It's your national anthem. I'm here in your sovereign soil, right? And I'm showing respect. Get up off your hole now and stand for the Irish national anthem.
Mm. Good luck with that.
So it's all about respect. It's all about respect.
Yeah, good luck.
Exactly, John.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with you, you know, Elizabeth. Mind you, you know, when I worked in the nightclub industry, we used to play the national anthem at the end of the night and people were all pissed out of their heads. There's nothing respectful about that. So the Irish national anthem has been disrespected on numerous occasions. It's not new.
Well, they used to play it on the television.
That's different. You don't be pissed. I don't know whether you stood up in your house. My dad used to, actually, when they come on RTE.
Yeah,
he used to stand up.
I think, now, look, it's the bottom line here. Like, it's down to respect. Like, if you want respect, you must give respect. If you don't want our national anthem booed, don't boo the other guy's national anthem. It's nothing about 800 years of kicking the crap out of us and we fighting back in 1916 and all that. It's just about, it's maturity and it's respect on the day. If you want this, you give it.
Yeah, but Lorraine does say, you know, that the history comes into it. She understands why people feel the way they do, because, you know, we're still an occupied country.
Yeah, I know that, but at the same time, I mean, Lorraine wouldn't want anyone to boo the Irish national anthem. So if you don't want our national anthem booed, don't boo the other guy's national anthem.
Fair point, Lorraine, isn't it? Yeah.
I said, when I text in, I wouldn't boo it, but if I was sitting at home here, I had it turned off on mute. I didn't listen to it.
You put it on mute. You said, Lorraine, you sound like me dad. That's something like something me dad would do. I remember the Queen would come on and he'd run. You've never seen a man move faster if the Queen would come on the television to turn or change the channel. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, childish.
After coming back. Right.
And Niall, can I say something? People were giving out saying that, the English booed the Irish. They did that because the English national anthem was played first.
Yeah. I'd say you used to watch the Queen's speech, Angela, at Christmas, did you? Say you loved it.
Oh, I sat down waving my flag with my cup of tea, you know, my little teacup. I got six corgis as well. Just to be
hard. I remember on Christmas Day, it was the Queen's speech and then Top of the Pops was on after. Do you remember that? You won't remember that far back.
Oh, God, yeah. Those were the days.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, John. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, any booing should have been after the anthems are over. It should be in reserve for those two absolute humongous langers, Harris and Starmer, right?
Yeah.
The traitor Harris, who...
I did see the two of them laughing together and they're going to be best buds now, I believe.
Oh yeah, well, one is a bigger langer as the others. We'd say in Cork, right? But the whole thing about is one guy, he believes in open borders. Like, and he's a traitor to the country. He's also a pro-abortionist. Starmer, just took the fuel.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Starmer there. Sorry.
Starmer took the fuel allowance off the hundreds of thousands of pensioners, right? He didn't tell people that though, before the election. Another scumbag.
Mm. Jesus, John, I thought you turned around and said one has a bigger langer than the other. I was going,
so did I.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I have to be honest. You know, obviously, Simon Harris has said this is going to be a very special relationship between the two of them. And he said, we're going to have a reset in relations that has to be embedded in peace and prosperity, mutual respect and friendship. But quipped, that may have to be paused for the match. Also, Michael Lee Higgins was sitting beside them as well. Oh, he's only got one more turn. Well, he's finished now.
Oh,
he can't run again. Sorry, John. Go ahead.
What should be done with the likes of Micheál Martin and Harris now and the likes of Starmer, right?
I have some very good suggestions as to what should be done with them. But the next election, we'll see all. But here's the thing. Starmer's not going to last long. He will be destroyed in Britain.
Put the whole lot of Morton Rock Oil and give him enough food to last for a month. And then when the food is gone, then they'll have to cannibalise one another.
Jesus, John, you have it all worked out, haven't you? Right, okay. I don't think so. This is the worst Prime Minister we could have ever been friends with. He now has a reputation for being the worst Prime Minister Britain has ever had. But they're not going to get him out yet, but they will get him out in a few months. Stay there for a second. Let me just go to Nuala. Nuala, hi, how are you?
Not too bad at all. I was at a Celtic match in Glasgow. And I met a cousin of mine who is my granduncle had gone living in Glasgow. So the cousin was reared a Presbyterian, but then he married a Catholic. So, and then his father had been a Catholic married to a Presbyterian. So there he was at the Celtic match.
Yeah.
Cheered in Celtic. And at the match, they were singing rebel songs all the way through and
yeah,
Irish
well, those kind of matches, Celtic and Rangers, are notorious, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, but if they were playing a French team, Rennes, I think it was the UEFA Cup or something like that. But, it was all kind of good-humoured. You know, there wasn't kind of anything.
Is there anything wrong with booing the British National Anthem?
Sorry?
Was there anything wrong
with...
Oh, we lost you there. Come back.
Irish people.
Yeah.
Most Irish people have English relations. I had about three granduncles that went over in the 1870s. And then, half of Connemara have relations in England. Mm. Half of Irish people have relations in England. They went over there in the 50s and when there was no...
For a better life. But they're still Irish, aren't they? They're Irish living in Britain.
Yeah, I had this friend and her family went over. Her father couldn't get a job and the father went over with the younger ones. So when she stayed here and when her sisters and brothers came visiting Galway, they had an English accent and people were given out to them on the bus and things like that.
Yeah.
And they were born in Ireland.
I mean, you also said as well to the producer, more people in the UK are among the working class, have Irish descent than in the US.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I'd say so. Definitely. You see, sometimes they weren't welcomed home because if there was a bit of land, they'd be thinking their relations at home be thinking they're coming home for the bit of land. You know? So they weren't as welcomed as somebody coming from the US who had a bit of money in their pocket. The English person that came, or the Irish person that had been working for a while in England, was never really welcomed very much coming back home. And I think that's sad, but that happened all the time. You know, everybody has, any country people that had relations that went to England, a lot of them, they never welcomed them home again.
Right. I get you. You know, I mean, Lorraine, that's a fair point. Lorraine, have you got British relations?
I have.
Oh.
I have cousins who are British. As I said, I've never once said I hate the British. I never once said
no,
it.
You
I've
didn't.
Never said
you
I
didn't.
I didn't.
No, she didn't. But she kind of gave that impression. Go on. Yeah.
I want my sovereignty. I am a Republican. I am Irish. That's just me. I am who I am. Don't like me.
There was nearly a song coming into my head there by Gloria Gaynor from a long, long time ago. I am what I am.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you don't like my view, as I've said to many people, if you don't like my view of it, don't listen to me and sit somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm just...
I have the proclamation in my house. I have my flag. I am Irish. I identify as Irish. That is me. I hate what's happened to Irish history. I hate what they've done to us. 800 years of oppression. I hate what they've done. Do I hate them as a nation? Do I hate them as a people? No. And I've never once said I have.
But you hate the royal family.
Oh, God, yeah.
Somebody has just sent us, I'm not too sure who that is, sent us in a photograph of himself lying on two cushions. One is an Irish flag cushion, one is a British flag cushion. I'm liking the picture. Did you go out of your way to take that picture of me? I love my cushions, he says. My grandmother was English, so there'll always be a little bit of me who respects both sides. I mean, we are next door neighbours, I suppose, Lorraine, you know what I mean? We can kind of leave that little problem, you know, just niggling away there, but we don't have to be bad about it.
Hey, Dan, like,
you're welcome.
To you can leave it. I thought that I could leave it. I had to say,
it doesn't interest me too much. The whole thing doesn't interest me too much.
I am the opposite. I love Irish history. I love all of that.
I'm not saying you shouldn't love Irish history. I'm not saying you shouldn't have respect for the people who have died in the past, you know, during civil wars or during the Troubles in Northern Ireland. Of course you should respect that and we should remember that. But we have to move past that now. We can't keep going back there all the time. It doesn't serve any purpose. It is what it is. It would be nice if we had a 32-county Ireland, but we don't.
Well, that's exactly it. We don't. There's six counties that are still up the north. They're not part of Ireland. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Don't say Northern Ireland in case Malachy's still listening.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I already said it. She got away with it, I think. But hang on. Stay there for a second. Let me go to Maureen.
There's six counties.
Maureen, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. If you were at the match, would you have been booing?
No.
Okay. It was a childish... Angela right? Scumbags. They're childish for booing.
Look, it was a soccer pitch. It wasn't a battlefield. And I think, you see, politics has been brought into everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be kept out of it. A game is a game. Look what happened when the Russian athletes... I know I'm way off topic here, but nobody shouted or made any commotion about it. When tennis players weren't allowed to turn up at Wimbledon to play tennis. When Russian athletes were banned, when other athletes were banned because their countries are at war with somebody, ordinary athletes who had nothing at all to do with it.
But yeah, I've never agreed. See this whole nonsense about ban Israel from the Eurovision Song Contest and the Olympic Games and all that. No. I don't agree with any of that. Exactly. They're just individual people who are good at their sport. Yeah. You don't ban them from things.
Yeah, no, you don't. Well, you see, look, soccer especially, why can't it be the same? Why can't you just gather... play the national anthems, get on with the game, and that, let that be the end of it. Besides just standing up and booing.
Mm.
Just be respectful, because I would stand for any national anthem. If I'm at a game, I don't care who's playing, I don't go to soccer games. But if I was, or I was going with somebody, I would be respectful and stand for their national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's me showing respect.
Yeah, I would
to
too.
The people.
Lorraine, would you stand for the British national anthem?
No.
See, this is what you're up against.
I did.
Yeah, Lorraine. If you were in Britain and there was a match on, and you happened to be in Wembley, and it was Ireland and England in Wembley, for example, would you stand
for the English national anthem?
Yeah.
No.
So you'd sit there and just be disrespectful. Well, then you're as bad as the people who booed the other day. Sorry, Lorraine, you are.
You can say that, but... You can call me disrespectful. I wouldn't stand for the British National Anthem. I couldn't. I couldn't bring myself...
But so Maureen is a patriot. You know, Maureen is a patriot. She's a fan of Ireland's sovereignty. But she just said she would be respectful.
That's Maureen. That's her. She agrees. If that's for her, wants on a fair play to you. And I totally... That's you. You want to stand up. I'd never say anything bad against you. I personally wouldn't. And I couldn't.
Hmm.
You want to stand for it? That's
but I'm not British. I'm not standing up to respect the crown. It's the players on the field who are maybe just ordinary people like the Irish player, the French or German, whatever the case may be.
Hold on, let's give her...
That's who I'm showing respect to.
The anthem is called God Save the King. That's what the anthem is called. I would not stand for...
We know it is I know what it's called, but I would still stand for it and show respect.
That's you, Maureen. I'm
so pleased
you
are back. What, sorry, Lorraine?
Hang up.
You're going to hang up. I was just giving you an opportunity to stand up if you wanted to. Sorry.
No, I couldn't. It's to me, standing up to that is disrespectful. And I will hang up this phone, I swear to God.
I don't just hang up now. Hang up. Just say, well, stay there for a second. Let me go to Bernie as well. Bernie, hi. How are you doing?
Hi.
Hi, Bernie. You heard Lorraine is even threatening to hang up if I play any more of that. Would you hang up, Bernie?
Would I hang up? No, yeah. I would respect. I mean, I love the haka from New Zealand when the Irish are playing that. I love that. I would stand for that. I'm very proud of my country. I'm 700 or 800 years here in Ireland, you know, with my family and ancestry. I'm very proud of what they did and what they've achieved. But I'd also respect the players on the field. And I think that they've God Save the King, I would have stood for that as well. Out of respect for the people on the pitch. Mm. Because it's a game. It's not a political arena. It's a place where young people are sharing their skills together.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is a game. And but if you were at a match and the British flag anthem come on, you'd stand up, would you?
I would, out of respect for the people who have all gathered.
Lorraine would. She'd be sitting down beside you. So the people that were booing on Saturday, do you think that's childish?
Well, it is a bit, to be honest. I mean, I love my country. I would be the first up at the line should anyone, you know, we would go to war tomorrow, I'd be stopped there first.
Would you?
And I would fight to the very end for my country. I'm not leaving. I'm not going to run away on a boat. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to fight for it because everybody before me did. So that would be my...
I have a vision of you and Lorraine running down the beach with a gun in your hands. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't even need a gun. I wouldn't need a fucking gun. I'd just be gone. I would not. This is the end of me. And I love my country and I love the people in it. And I am not going to give up without a fight if I had to in the morning. And that would be me. But I'm not going to disrespect another country. I'm a young player who is just after learning the ropes of how to score goals and all that and did all the training. Why would I disrespect him? I don't care about the king over there. He has nothing to do with me. I care about my people and my passion is my people. But I would still respect another country.
Do you think we're really slow to let go of the past? I mean, it is a long time now. And thankfully, the Good Friday Agreement has been in place for many years now, many decades now. Are we slow to let go of the past? I mean, nobody's saying we should forget the past. Of course, we shouldn't and disrespect those people who died. But, you know, we need to move on, don't we?
We know. We need to learn. We learn from our past. Mm. We don't forget our past. We learn from it and we appreciate and respect the people who went ahead of us, who fought for us.
Yeah, but as far as Lorraine and Malik is concerned, you can't let go of the past. You have to keep it going until we have a united Ireland.
Because we're not
out of
the past.
No, but the united Ireland thing will come. I have a feeling in my waters it will come.
In
it
your
has
waters.
To come. No, I mean, I think that eventually it'll just be... It'll be a united Ireland. I mean, it'll take a lot
quite,
more.
You're quite optimistic. I can't feel it in my waters. You're very optimistic. You know, I would. You know, don't get me wrong. Of course, everybody would like to see it, but I want to be respectful to the people of Northern Ireland who consider themselves British as well. You can't just chuck them out, like.
No, and like, can we not live side by side at some point in our lives? You know, we're only passing.
Well, we are living side by side for the most part. You know, with the exception of small factions of people who seem to dislike each other. But generally speaking, in Northern Ireland, the vast majority of the population live side by side and are quite happy to do so.
Yeah, like you know, my father was on the borders my father worked on the border in the 70s, and he was shot at many times, and he survived. You know, and
yeah, but the days of going to Northern Ireland and having to hide your southern accent are gone, to the most part. There are some small little pockets and areas that you might not want to go into.
You do feel sometimes uncomfortable up there with your southern Ireland place. But again, that's part. I see some English place going around here, and it does rise my heckles sometimes. But you know, I have to let it go.
But here's the one thing that's really funny about Northern Ireland, right? When you go into a shop in Northern Ireland. And, you know, no matter how long you've lived in Northern Ireland or how long you're in Northern Ireland, if you're a southerner, for example, and you walk into a shop, what they always say to you is, you know, they're always polite, really polite, but they'd always say, up for the weekend? They don't believe that southerners live in Northern Ireland. They just don't. They always think you're blow-ins. You're always a blow-in. Yeah, I suppose it's the same in Ireland too. If you're a Dublin or in Kerry, I suppose you could probably get the same reaction too.
I'm a
I'm a Dubliner in Galway, and I'm always going to be a blow-in. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And do people say to you, are you just up for the weekend?
Yeah, you know, when are you going back?
Let me go to Tara. Tara, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are things?
Good. Tara, okay, getting back to the original question, do you think, you know, it's time to kind of move on from all this? Lorraine is not willing to let it go, neither is Malachy, neither are many people, to be fair, until we get a united Ireland. And I don't see that happening in my lifetime or yours.
Well, I disagree with the booing, because I thought it was petty and childish. I mean, don't bring politics into it. Both sides just need to be respectful, especially when it comes to the likes of sport and that. But most of the people who are chanting and booing, they likely have no real issue with the British. I mean, I think Tommy was right. For some people, it was alcohol. For others, it was just pure badness. But that anti-British rubbish, it's so ingrained in the minds of thugs, in the minds of those who are perpetual victims, and those who are so stuck in the past that they're blind to the actual threat to the country at the moment. The reality is we're facing far greater enemies than the British. And, you know, and I'm sorry to derail here for a second, but everyone should be angry about those who are currently trying to invade, not those who previously did. And what I found vomit-inducingly disrespectful was allowing Crow Park to be taken over for an Islamic prayer session. Islam is openly hostile towards the West, and the Quran and many of its hardcore followers have no problem saying they want all non-Muslims dead. And it's very telling and very highly disrespectful.
Not all Muslims interpret the Quran.
Hardcore ones who follow the Quran. Yeah. They've made no secret of their intentions. And I just thought it was highly disrespectful that they chose for their so-called prayer session.
That started. That started during COVID, and kind of people half understood during COVID. That started, and now it's become a regular thing. And I find it a bit odd, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's just. I mean, this is a stadium where Catholics were murdered in cold blood, and you've got people who have made no secrets of wanting. Like, not that the people who were involved in that prayer session have just said this, but the hardcore followers of the Quran have said they want all non-Muslims should be.
So your argument is our problem is not with Britain, our problem is with people from all over the world.
I think it's time
or
that
other people.
We need. Yeah, well, I think it's time that. I mean, you can't change the past, and we won't forget the past, but at some point you do have to move on from it. And you can't heal the trauma of the past by keeping the hate alive. And that's what really annoys me about Malachy Steinfeld. I don't know if he's still on the line, but the stance he took with regards to the tricolour being waved alongside marching loyalists up in Belfast back when people were protesting mass immigration there a couple of months ago. He condemns the very notion that he and the nationalist movement would support any collaboration with loyalists. And like a lot of people, I was disgusted by that statement, because that bullshit not only keeps hateful fires burning, it fans the flames. And it justifies despicable and disrespectful behaviour, like what we saw in the Aviva. And the immigration issue was one time that the North and South were united on an issue. It was the one thing that brought us all together. And anyone with a brain could see that we were a stronger force together. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend and all that. But Malachy and his cohorts, they all joined the chorus of individuals whose minds are still stuck back in the 1980s.
In fairness to Malachy, he gave his own reasons to that. And you have to remember, of course, Malachy's position on that from his own background. So, I mean, he did give his own reasons for that at the time. By the way, you can agree or disagree with him, and that's fine. But Lorraine, you would have probably agreed with Malachy in relation to, you know, the two coming together in the North in relation to that kind of Kulak says no protest that was in Northern Ireland at the time, going back when those riots were on about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I mean, you would have agreed with the two coming together or thought that was a good thing, wouldn't you?
Maybe. Did I agree with loyalists and nationalists getting together?
Yeah.
When I saw the nationalists and Irish, or the nationalists and loyalists getting together, if I'm being honest, it frightened me.
Why?
I know what they were fighting for, and I know, as she said, the immigration, how Crow Park was used and all that. But
her argument is your problem shouldn't really be with the British people. We have a bigger problem.
We do have a bigger problem. 100% we have a bigger problem. And I get her point about the Muslims, and as you said, it's not all Muslims, and I understand that completely, that this goes further than Britain and further than the rest. My point with Britain and all that stuff is we still haven't got six counties back. I'll always agree.
Should the two flags ever fly side by side?
Not until we get our six counties back. On that one, I agree with Malachy.
Ah, yeah, but who the fuck wants Fermanagh? I mean, like, you know what? The only thing we should be booing the British over is that they didn't take Cavan as well, like, in fairness.
Well, I mentioned Leitrim earlier on.
I guess they still have our six counties. So, to me, until it's the United Ireland, until we have our country back, until I have full sovereignty in this country, I don't agree with the two flags standing together. You might do, that's you. I have a completely different opinion. I totally agree with you with the immigration thing, though, and what's going on there and the Muslims using Crow Park. I completely, 100% agree with you with that.
But, no. There is, Tara, there is a lot of people that feel like that, and that, you know, they're entitled to their voice too, that they feel like the two flags don't belong together until such time as we have a united Ireland and we can put that in the past. Because as far as they're concerned, the war is still on to some degree.
No, I get that. And like, I mean, I would love a united Ireland, but would the people in Northern Ireland want to be in the Republic? I mean, they get free healthcare on the NHS.
Yeah, well, a lot of
there's
them
there's a
wouldn't.
Lot of incentives to see. Yeah, you see, so, I mean, I would love a united Ireland. I think that would just be amazing to see. But at the same time, this divide is... It hasn't really been working for us. So I'm just wondering, I mean, if you look at, say, Iceland, they gained independence from Denmark without any violence or armed conflict. They just did it through talking. So maybe that's, we just need to kind of, I'm not saying join forces with them, but maybe this divide and this kind of anti-British mindset, maybe we need to park that and just try a different tactic and see, does that work?
Okay.
Maybe I'm being naive.
Yeah, well, I don't think so. Before we go, thank you, Tara. Lorraine.
Niall.
I give you one last opportunity. I give you one last opportunity to stand up out of your chair there.
God save the king.
God save all grace. Sing along, mate.
Bye. King.
Is she gone? Is she gone? Ah, she's gone, Tara.
Oh, she
it was just a bit of fun. Tara, listen, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate it.
No, thanks very much, guys.
Bye. All right, sorry, Lorraine is gone. Yeah, she's gone. She went. I understood that. For a lot of people, of course, the British National Anthem is kind of disrespectful. A lot of people, and I understand the past, by the way, on a very serious note, I understand all the men and women who have died in Ireland, both in the Troubles, the Civil War, trying to keep Ireland for the Irish. Unfortunately, didn't succeed. 26 counties are ours. There are 6 counties that belong to Great Britain, whether you like it or not. Malachy doesn't like it, of course. He won't even let you use the word Northern Ireland anymore. Most of us do respect the term Northern Ireland. At some point, maybe in the future, we will have a united Ireland. But there are too many complications to that right now. Way too many complications. Malachy says, by the way, I naturally have a tricolour outside my house and my office. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with having a tricolour outside your house. But that's a kind of weird thing. And I said this before. If you have a tricolour outside your house or flying from your house in Ireland, you're seen as some sort of troublemaker. Oh, he must be Republican, or he's a troublemaker, or look at him, a big patriot, big mad right-wing lunatic. Whereas in other countries, they're quite proud to fly their flag. You go to America and drive through the streets of Florida or, you know, beautiful leafy suburbs. People are proud to have the flag, the American flag in the front garden. It's a sign of patriotism. It's a sign of being proud of your country. But here in Ireland, there's something we have kind of turned it into this. Oh, that must be a bad element. They're head cases. I kind of blame in some way those arseholes that go to protests with writing all over the flag, which, by the way, you're not allowed to do. It's actually technically illegal to write on an Irish flag. You know, refugees go home, written on a flag and wrapped around their shoulders. Them arseholes give the Irish flag a bad name, actually, because can I point out it is illegal to do that to an Irish flag. Under the Constitution of Ireland, it's technically illegal to deface it in any shape or form. Malachy will tell you the rules some other day that he's on, but I can't remember all of the rules. But I know the flag has to be kept upright at all times. There's a certain way you must fold the flag as well. Like, there are lots of rules around the flag and how it should be used and how it can be used. Anyway, thank you to everybody who got involved in the show. Sorry about the technical problem we had at the very start of the show. If you listen to the podcast later on, you won't even notice. The gap will be seamless. It'd be like it never happened. But anyway, I shall talk to you again tomorrow. Please do support the podcast. We need your donations. We cannot have this podcast every day and have people on the air having their opinions, you know, and we don't censor people at all. There's no other show that you would get this. There's no other live podcast like this. It's a fully interactive live podcast. Most days we have people on Zoom, we have people on WhatsApp, we have people on calls, we have a little bit of everything. It's the only fully live interact podcast in the country every single day. So please do support us. That's cost money to do it. And all you got to do is go to our website, nileboylan.com. Some of the WhatsApp messages, by the way, coming in today. Oh, there's a lot of them. George says, this is disgusting behaviour. It's something most of the people left behind in 1998. Good Friday Agreement. These people who done this want to keep us in the past. Forget God Save the Queen. The only king is Christ the King, says Frederick. Galway Gerald says, Ireland's call and Aaron Aveen are played at all home games matches, but only Ireland's call when playing away. Not that anybody cares. That was a huge argument earlier on, wasn't it? Noz alert. Paddy Falvey says on X, more bullshit. Go to Premier League game and hear what they sing about each other. You must be stuck for something to talk about. It's like listening to the news talk. Oh, you think so? Rory Martin says, the English fans boo their own anthem. Don't compare us to news talk, please. You know what I mean? Let's be clear about it. You know, we logically think about things. News talk, you know, are just doing what they're told to do, I suppose. Rory Martin says, the English fans boo their own anthem. If you were from, say, Liverpool, you hate the monarchy. At every FA Cup final in Wembley, they play the national anthem and the booing is deafening. The fact that the vast majority don't like King Charles and people don't like the monarchy in general, it's an old imperialistic, obnoxious dynasty. Yeah, okay. And Michael says, stop fighting the last war and start fighting the next war. Angela is turning into Saoirse again, says Michael. Okay. Thank you to everybody who got involved. Now let me just play one or two of these. I'm going to play these WhatsApps. Yep, there's a load of them.
I love hearing this argument. Oh, but you support Liverpool or Man United or blah, blah, blah. Supporting Liverpool is completely different to supporting any other team. Because when you think about it, really, a lot of players on the Liverpool team aren't actually English.
No, just on Andrew's behalf there, anybody gets in my taxi are all upper class that goes to rugby matches in the Aviv or goes to rugby matches in any stadium. They're all upper class here, just to let you know that. Cheers, pal. Yeah, it's absolute shy carry-on. It's ridiculous carry-on. It's fed down through the bloodlines then. It's ridiculous. It's over and done with. What is, and that's the end of it. Because if a country decided to invade Ireland, who'd get them out? The Brits. That's when we'd be all licking the Brits' arse to get them out. That's the story there. That's if you ask me.
Jesus, Niall. I'm married to a radical, a terrorist. I wonder if our parents know. Go on, Lorraine. Chucky R. Lorraine, what?
Chucky R. Lorraine. We'll be back again with you tomorrow at 12. Please go to the website. Please support us. Do it now. Now, I tell you. NileBoylan.com. A fiver donation will go a long way and will keep the show on the road, the mics on and those lights on. Talk to you tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.